I think it's important that as we consider that, that we don't come to the word with any preconceived notions. Because as verse 1 where he was, there's a progression between verse 1, 2, and 3. In verse 1 where he's offering sacrifices, but then in verse 2, he really, to me, does what we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, that to offer your bodies is a living sacrifice. He's here saying, okay, I've come to the word, but I'm not coming to the word. And like he did earlier, as we talked in the morning study, where he was actually coming up with plans and then praying and then asking for God's, you know, stamp of approval on the plans he already in his mind was planning to do. Here he's coming and saying in verse 2, I'm a living sacrifice. Here am I. Which direction do you want me to go? Which way do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? And then we get to verse 2 of chapter 12 of Romans, that you may prove what the acceptable and good and perfect will of God is. And then God shows him to what he's supposed to do. So he doesn't come with any thoughts and just is asking for God's stamp of approval, as we saw earlier. He's now coming as the complete living sacrifice for himself, not just offering sacrifices, but now he himself is a sacrifice and saying, show me the direction, and whatever you tell me to do, I'm willing to go. He just says, here am I. And that's what the Lord is looking for.
I think it's interesting, too, because at this point, he believes Joseph is alive, but if God had told him, don't go into Egypt, I don't think he would have went. He was now honestly seeking God's direction, and he wanted to see Joseph. He loved Joseph, but he loved God more. He wanted to go to Egypt and see Joseph. He wanted to see his son before he died. But he went first to ask God's approval. And I think that's really the test. There are things that we want, and they're right in front of us. But still, even when we want something, even when something seems right, going to see Joseph, what's wrong with that? And in every step, in all our ways, we're supposed to acknowledge God and ask God's guidance. And that's, I think this is very commendable of Jacob, because he wants to see his son, but he goes to God first. He wasn't going to Egypt to save himself or to find fortune. He was going to see his son, the son that he lost. But first he goes to God. And he'd be willing to give up the thing that he wants most if God had told him no. But of course we have a gracious God who gives him what he asks for and what he desires.
In chapter 45, the last verse, he says, I will go and see him before I die. I think he had started to make a plan, and then he realized he's not able to do that anymore. He can't just make plans. So then he goes to Beersheba and he offers the sacrifices. And it's interesting because he offers it to the God of his father, Isaac. Mm. And we said that Isaac was told not to leave the land. Mm. And I think he's thinking of the God of his father, Isaac, and the blessing is staying in the land. And that's his thought. But then God comes and he says, I am God, the God of your father, Isaac, and I'm telling you to go. So he's getting approval from the same God, and it's important that he was recognizing that there was blessing staying in the land, but he wanted God's approval, and God gave it to him. And it's not just, I'm giving you approval to go, but I want you to go. I'm going to make of you a great nation there, and I will bring you back. And so he has this blessing from God, not only to go, but that he's going to be brought back, and his people would be brought back to this land.
I think a very important point that we should underline is the sacrifices that were offered. There is an appropriate approach to God. And it's not in the energy of Jacob, Israel, you or I. The sacrifices here that are offered speak of the Lord Jesus. It is presenting to God when we are in the condition that we ought to be, mentally, spiritually, we understand that we can only approach God through the Lord Jesus. In all of the perfection, the beauty of that work, it's the Lord that makes us fit to be in the presence of a holy God. So Israel now understands this. Remember how he feared, you know, on two other occasions, it was the fear, oh, this is an awesome place because God was here. But now, because he comes with the right approach, the sacrifices he understood from Abraham, from Jake, from Isaac, that God, he expected this. He brings that. And so as young people, when we approach God, and I want to say this, we should never enter his presence in a very casual way, because he is God. We enter in the value of all that is attached to the Lord, that work, his person. We enter reverently. And I would suggest, especially to young men who have to learn to move publicly, that you listen to how older brothers who are a little bit further on the way, how they approach, how they speak to God, the reverence. And that you should, because very often it comes from the scriptures, you should seek to emulate that from the Word of God, reverencing God. But now it's interesting that he seeks God's mind. How does God respond to him? And I was thinking, you know, the problem is not with Joseph, right? The problem is with Egypt. Because Joseph is in Egypt. And we've been called out of Egypt, the world, right? And so now someone says, come back there to get someone and meet someone. We need to be really sure that the Lord wants us to go back into Egypt. So that's why Israel approaches God in this way. But now let's see what God says. God spoke unto Israel. You see, when we approach God in the right way, he's going to respond. And he says, he spoke unto him the visions of the night. This is through a dream that he's communicating with him. And he said, Jacob, Jacob. I thought you brothers just told me Israel. I thought everything was okay. Why is God calling him Jacob? And not just once. You know, when God calls your name twice, you need to listen. Abraham, Abraham. Martha, Martha. Saul, Saul. Moses, Moses, right? Maybe there's seven of them. Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. He responds to that name, doesn't he? Why do you think God didn't call him Israel here? But he calls him by that name, Jacob. And Israel responds to that name. What's the lesson here?
I don't know, maybe like for Jacob to continue to remember his roots, like, or for Israel to remember his roots, where he has come out from to where he is now, like a continued humbling, or like a continued position of humility before the Lord.
Maybe he's reminding him of his roots before he goes back into Egypt, that he still has that flesh in him before going to Egypt again, to be careful of that.
Could it also be that Jacob would be more afraid to go into Israel or go into Egypt than Israel would, in that, like, the new man of Israel would be, you know, with God there, versus Jacob, who was having more difficulty than Israel would have been. If that makes sense.